I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Gwane from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bregno from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kivinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Vicky from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome on to this edition of Run with Coach Parry. I'm Brad Brown, and it's good to have you with us today. And we're going to, on this podcast, do a bit of time traveling. You'll find out why in just a moment. I'm a massive fan of the Back to the Future movie, and that's what we are going to do today. I'm going to climb in my DeLorean, get Doc to fire up the plutonium, and off we go. And the reason I say that is we're catching up with our running coach, Marcus van Niekerk, today, and we are going to be chatting to Jeffrey Abrams. But we did this chat last week. We recorded it last week, as this has been published, a few days before the Johnson Crane Marathon, which happened this past weekend up in Johannesburg. And so we chatted to Jeffrey ahead of the race. He's been gunning and training pretty hard for a sub-3 marathon. You'll find out all the details there. And I'm going to keep you in suspense because I've got an update at the end of this podcast about how Jeffrey went. So there's the bit of time traveling. And because Lindsay's not on the podcast today, I'm going to talk about him a little bit because he's not going to tell you this, so I will. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal weekend at Johnson Crane. We had a whole bunch of members from the Coach Parry online community running. And, there were PBs left, right, and center. But, at the front end of the field, it was pretty good for Team Coach Parry as well. Three of our athletes out of the professional rungs ended up winning the races. So in the 10K, in the men's 10K, one of our athletes, Polani Buthelezi, ended up running a 31 minutes 10K to win the men's 10K. That is rapid. I laugh because I can't even wrap my head around running that fast. But 31 minutes for 10K, well done to Polani. And then in the ladies' half marathon, Christine Karma ended up winning that. I think she won the ladies race, but she was 6th overall, I think, out of everyone, men included. And it was a training run. She wasn't even racing that hard. So, fantastic, fantastic run from Christine. And then to top it all off, a win in the marathon for Shanae Bosman. In a new record time as well. So three wins out of essentially 6 possible wins. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. So well done to Lindsay and to those three athletes and also to every single one of our members who had a phenomenal weekend out. Also at the Red Hill this weekend in Cape Town, and there were other marathons as well that took place. And the success stories coming out of our forums have been absolutely brilliant. I love hearing them and reading them, and we're going to share a few of them with you in the weeks and to come here on the podcast. Also, don't forget, we're going to be announcing our next Biogen Journey winner. If you've been following what we've been doing on our various platforms, on our videos as well as our podcast, you'll know that every single week we give away a 3-month membership to the Coach Parry online platform, all compliments of Biogen. And what we're also doing is giving away a Biogen hamper. So we'll throw in a Biogen hamper with that prize as well. And we'll announce the winner at the end of this podcast too. So stay tuned for how Jeffrey went and also to find out if you're a winner, if you've been using that hashtag on social media. It's that easy to win. Just use the hashtag BiogenJourney, we'll pick them up, and we could make you a winner. Those results coming up a little bit later on in the program, but first, let's catch up with Marcus and Jeffrey. Marcus, welcome.
How's it, Brad? Thanks for having me.
No worries, nice to catch up again. And we head to the northwest, to Klerksdorp, to catch up with one of the members of the Coach Parry online community, Jeffrey Abrams. Jeffrey, welcome on to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brad. Hi, Marcus.
How's it, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey, it's awesome. It's awesome to have you on because you are one of probably the most active members on our community. You ask incredible questions. You challenge the coaches, which I absolutely love. To boot, you're a pretty good runner as well. How did you get into the sport of running? Jeffrey, how long have you been running?
I started running in 2015. And it so happened that I started running by sheer default. I took my wife out on her birthday, so I was walking down a hill. Then I started running, which, as you guess, I think the bug bit from that time on. I actually fell in love with trail running, and there's not much trails in Klerksdorp that you can do. And I started doing park run. I think I'd done about 20 of them. And when I was told I'm pretty good at it, and I started running. So I started running in 2015, in August.
Jeffrey, I'm amazed because you are, like I said, I mean, I said to Boot, you're a good runner. You are a blimming good runner, and you haven't been running that long. I mean, were you sporty growing up? I mean, did you do anything else? I mean, obviously this has come later on, but I mean, did you play any other sports as a kid?
In my teens, when I was 16 and probably until I was like 20, I was doing karate, about three different styles of martial arts. And in 2008, I started cycling until 2014. So yeah, I've been pretty active. I always tease that in 1992, I think I was 19 or so, I weighed 53 kilograms. It's a couple of decades later, as is from last Monday, this past Monday, I actually weighed 53.5 kilograms. I guess it's the genes.
I love it. I mean, that's fantastic. Obviously, coming into running, having that cycling background, you've had you've got quite a big sort of base, which helps a lot. But for you, what's made you fall in love with running? What do you love about it, and what's sort of kept pushing you?
I guess it's the camaraderie amongst fellow runners, the dedication that I see in some of the guys, and the added benefit, it keeps you young. And I have a phobia that most people don't know about, a booby. And I don't like a tummy. So when I start my trousers not fitting, I mean, running gives you the best cardio ever. So I guess that's the reason.
Yeah, and running definitely helps with that. And as far as sort of goals and that, what are you sort of working towards? You haven't just stuck to park run. You've gone and run some longer stuff as well. What are you working towards?
Ultimate goal is the comrades to be able to run silver. Well, I started with a couple of 10 kilos. When I started running in 2015, and I thought I was blimming fast. My starting pace was roughly 5:15 per kilo. And I had a running mate who did a 4:40 that I could struggle to pace with him. Then in 2015, I did 2:21s, which the best in that year was 1:34. And then in 2016, I done about 2:01:21. So I effectively started running seriously in July 2017, you know, 5 days a week. Yeah, that's pretty about it.
And you've run Comrades before. You've run Bull Rowan at Comrades, and not just sneaking in either. I mean, I think your Comrades PB is an 8:30 odd, which is pretty good. But like you say, silver's the goal.
Silver is the goal, yes.
All right, I'm going to hand you... Sorry, say again?
I said this, the start to achieve that goal is to be able to run a marathon in sub-3, which I'm aiming for this coming weekend in Johnson Creek. So, yeah, if I get that right, I think my eye will be definitely on the silver without any compromise.
And you're coming pretty close. I mean, you ran Soweto last year, which is a tough. I mean, Soweto, you can't beat around the bush. Soweto is hard. It's at altitude. It's in November. And in November in Soweto, it's hot. It's hot and dusty, and it's tough. And you've had a pretty good performance at Soweto. You didn't get the sub-3. I don't know if you were going for the sub-3, but I mean, running very low 3-hour marathon at a Soweto is nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, I ran a 3:12 in comparison with my first Soweto in 2017, which was a 3:32. I mean, I went to Soweto just to give it a test. I wasn't pushing it. I held back a lot, because I didn't want to get injured. You know, up hills, if you are not up there, it could be heavy on your hemis. I mean, I came back from Comrades with sore knees that lasted for 5 weeks. So I didn't want to jinx that in Soweto, because I had it in the back of my mind. I wanted to run tough one as well. So I little head back in Soweto.
Well, brilliant. Let's talk a little bit. I'm going to hand you over to Marcus now, because you've got some great questions around your training and how do you get better. But before I do that, though, how are you feeling ahead of Johnson Crane? We're recording this now the week before. We're actually going to publish it the week after. So I'll make sure that we put in the show notes how you went. But how are you feeling with a few days to go now? How are you feeling ahead of Johnson Crane?
Well, I started to get sleepless nights. I mean, I dream about the race, you know, adjusting on the pace and looking. I'm now doing some calculation in terms of which pace do I want to run. Do I want to run at 3:59 per K, at 4 or 4:05? I'm just planning ahead. But, yeah, the nerves are hitting it, I must say.
Well, nerves are good, and I think with any sort of big race that you're targeting, I think it's good to have nerves in, because that is what sort of keeps you to stick to the game plan, that you don't go out and blow it early on. Marcus, just before we get into Jeffrey's questions, going sub 3 at Johnson Crane this weekend, what's Jeffrey got to do?
Okay, so firstly, my first question, thanks, Brad, would be, Jeffrey, your 3:12 at Soweto, was that as hard as you can go, or was it just let's see what I can do today?
I think I held back. There was still about 25% of capacity in the tank. When I looked at my zones, I wasn't even at, I was running at temperate zone 3. It's wow. Only about 12% of which I was running at zone 4. I wasn't using zone 6 at all. I mean, I never went there in Soweto. So I had about 25% capacity that I could have utilized.
Okay. And just as a cross reference, what is your most recent 5 or 10K PB? Or even a 4 or 8K time trial, whatever short distance all out effort you gave recently.
Okay. My best 8K time trial is 29 minutes.
Okay.
My best my 10K is 39:25.
Okay, but recently, what's your most recent one?
My most recent one, which was last week, Saturday, was 39:40 on a 10K.
Okay.
And I just finished a 21.1 milli 21 race, of which I finished in 1:23.
Okay, perfect. 100%. Oh, so it was part of you said it was part of a 21?
Yeah, I crossed that 10K at 39 on a 21 course.
Okay, perfect. And that was the first 10K, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So a few interesting things. So firstly, if your 3:12 at Soweto wasn't all out, that's really good to hear. If you want to go, let's say you're aiming at a 2:58, you're looking at about an average speed of 4:13 per kilometer. So, for me, in order for you to achieve that, please don't go anywhere sub 4 because it's not necessary. You will just eliminate your chances, or you'll just make your chances to achieve your goal super scarce, just because you might burn too much, in the beginning stage of the race. In fact, if I were you, I'd start out around 4:13 to 4:15, just to get blood going. Even slower than that, maybe a 4:18, not slower than that, and then do that for the first 14 kilometers. After that, you should be able to bring it back down to a 4:10, 4:13 for the next 14 kilometers. And then with 14 Ks left to go, if you want to put the hammer down, obviously it's your call, and depending on how you feel on the day, you'll be able to take it home. And if you can still maintain that pace, you should be able to take it home at a sub 3. And if you feel great with 6 Ks to go, that's my philosophy, then just empty the tank. Go crazy. As long as your average speed for the day per kilometer equates to about 4:13, and that'll take you to a 2:58 flat. So I couldn't agree with you more. When it comes to the running a silver at Comrades, you will need to do a sub 3 marathon. It's just one of those things. The one thing that stands out for me a bit is, like, if your best 10K effort was a 39, that's about 1 minute off what you should be doing. So in other words, you should be doing it about a 38 minute 10K in order to do a 2:58 marathon. If we work on a 2:59, because you don't really want to go to, it's only about a 10 second difference, so it's 38:10. So your current 10K PB, if we calculate it from your 10K going up, let's do that. You said it was a 49?
It was a 39.
39:03.
Yeah, 39:25.
25, sorry. Let me just do my calculations here. So if we base it on that, you're looking at about a sub 3:05 marathon. Okay. I don't know what the route was like in the first 10Ks that you did the other day, but I also don't know what the route is like for the marathon coming up. But because it's very borderline, I'd suggest that if you want to, follow the advice that I just gave in terms of do not go faster than what is really necessary. Because as you would know just as well as I do, it's from 36 kilometers onwards where the real fight club starts, as they put it. So that would be my advice for your specific attempt at going sub-3 at JC this weekend.
Yeah, if I can just add something in there as well, Jeffrey, before you sort of respond to Marcus, and this is just a general comment, and we see it so often where runners will be going for a certain goal, and whether it's a sub-3-hour marathon, whether it's a sub-4-hour marathon, or a sub-5-hour marathon, and you almost get lured into the go, you know what, I'm going to go 10 seconds a K faster in the first half than I should be going so that I can bank that time so that I've got some time in the second half. And Lindsay and I did a video, and I think it's coming out in a week or two's time, where we spoke exactly about that you're never going to make up enough time for what you lose in the second half by going out too fast. So by going out at the pace you should be going out, like Marcus recommends, if you go out slightly more conservative, you feel so much better in that second half that you can then go and run an even split, possibly even a negative split, which then sets you up for success, as opposed to going out maybe 2 minutes faster than you should in that first half. You're going to lose way more than 2 minutes in the second half, and that then blows your goal out the water. And it's, I don't want to say it's a risk, but it's a decision that you need to make as a runner, that's the way you're going to approach this thing. You trust the system, you've done the training, you've done the hard work, and now it's a case of just execute and don't blow that execution by going out too hard.
Yeah, I think the advice that Marcus just gave me, I appreciate it. It's actually well consecutive, because my method has been run faster. In the first 3K, you burn your muscle, they get used to it, and you drop the pace to a more comfortable pace, and then I just run that pace in the two-thirds of the race, which I consider as a warm-up, especially on a marathon. If you take your running up to 37 as a nice warm-up, and if you feel good at 37, as you put it, Marcus, empty the tank. Because, yeah, you know the paramedics are going to be waiting for you at the finish line. So, yeah, I appreciate the 418, 416 pace. It is the comfortable pace, I must say.
I can almost guarantee you, if you follow the start easy, finish hard approach, I can almost guarantee you you'll have a great result. I don't know if I should mention it on this episode, but I have an athlete, she's based in Cape Town, and she did Oceans last year. And she's got training buddies, and cut a long story short, my advice to her was we also basically divided it up into thirds, because it's just something that I like to do. So my advice to her was start easy, you know, build it up into a certain pace, and then, you know, over the last third of the race, and see what you can do. And one of her running buddies, the response, and I think it was actually the running buddy's coach's response, said was, no one runs a negative split at Oceans. And the cherry on top was the fact that this athlete of mine, she ran so well, she actually caught up with the friend who's a way better, in her opinion, is a way better and stronger runner than her. And she actually, I think she beat him by half an hour at the end of the day.
Wow.
So, I mean, if you start conservatively, I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day out. And not just that, if you think of something looking at a graph, if I can, describe it like that. If you start that graph a bit too high, and slowly but surely you're going to run out of energy. And as soon as that starts dipping, that's when I like to describe it as, that's when the process starts to control you, because that's when you run out of energy. But if you drop that graph a bit and you keep it consistent and you gradually pick it up, I can guarantee you the time lost, if I can call it that, based on a slower start or a more conservative start, is much less damage than being able to, or than you starting too hard and then the process taking control of yourself.
I can back you up 100%. I saw that with me on Two Oceans last year. I started too fast. I mean, when I crossed the 42.2, my time was 3:06. And I ran all PBs except the 5. I ran the best 10, best 21, best 42 since I started running. But after 46K, it was battling. I was battling. The only fastest time that I could manage was the last 3K when I finished. I mean, I had to go to the loo, and there was no loo long next to the road. So I ran fast just to get to the loo. So I missed. I lost about 23 minutes because I aimed to run a silver at Two Oceans. But the philosophy of starting too fast, I couldn't run the negative splits after halfway point. Because
I had nothing left in the tent. You know what? And trust me, if you start at a 4:15 to 4:18 or 4:14 to 4:18, I can guarantee you, your muscles will have more than enough time in those 14 kilometers to, one, get used to the pace, and two, to warm up very, very well. And then from there, you can start handing out the damage for work. Well, obviously, in the middle third of the race, then obviously, you know, pick the pace up ever so slightly, like I said, and I'm very confident in the fact that you have some more to give in the last third.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what the result is. We're going to definitely be in touch with you on Monday, Jeffrey. But you had a question that you sent through about training pacing. What was that question that you wanted to ask Marcus about the paces you run in training?
Marcus, on easy runs and as well as in long runs, on the Coach Perry forum, you have your pace ranges. For example, say on an easy run between a pace of 4:10 to 5:10. Consecutively, what should one be choosing which pace to run with? Obviously, the faster pace you choose, the more kilos you log based on the time that you'll be running. The slower, the lesser the kilo. That is the philosophy I'm following. But one can't run a 4:10 week in, week out. You're bound to pain, you're bound to invite injury. In your experience, what would be the ideal pace to train with?
Okay, let's go back to the marathon, and let's say, for argument's sake, you are training for a 2:58 marathon. Let me just do my calculations again. Let's do that. Okay, so let's say we are training for that elusive sub-3 marathon. Based on that, your easy runs should be 4:30 to 5 minutes a K. Your long run should be 4:30 to 5:10 per K. And your recovery run should be about 5:05 to 5:30 per kilometer. There's a very big risk, just as so many people make the mistake by starting a race too fast. I cannot stress how important it is to train in the right zones. I'll never forget Lindsay and myself and some of the other coaches on the Coach Perry platform. We had a lunch one day with a very, very, very clever guy. And he's the coach of the Norwegian Olympic cross-country skiing team. And in order for you to be coached by him, you need to have an Olympic gold. So he's got pretty high standards. And he always uses the one example of one of his most successful, in fact, one of the country's most successful, the sport's most successful elite cross-country skiers. And she had a 10-year career with 14,000 hours of log training, and 80% of that was in zone one and the lower end of zone two. I mean, that is ridiculously slow. So it just goes to show you that I cannot stress how important it is to train at the right zones. If you train at a too high intensity, we're just missing the boat entirely. So you want to train. I always say engine first, speed second. If you keep on training at the right intensities consistently, those intensities will in any way be improved because you're running at the maximum aerobic capacity or intensity that you should, if I can call it that. It's just super, super important because if you train too fast, you're using a different energy systems, your muscles go into oxygen there. So you take longer to recover from sessions. So there's not just the fact, it's not just training at the wrong intensity. It comes with a whole list of other issues that one doesn't necessarily take into account. And 9 times out of 10, you're only going to realize it come race that you're going to pitch up there and you're not going to be as fit and as fresh as you should be.
Okay. So basically, we summarize it. Train at a slow pace so that you'll be able to run fast at the race pace.
100%. I mean, if you want to write it down, I can give it to you again. So based on a sub-3 marathon, your easy run should be 4:28 to about 5:05. You go conservatively. Your long run should be about a 4:31 to 5:10. And your recovery run should be about a 5:05 to a 5:35. Once again, just because the bottom of that bracket is 4:30 doesn't mean you need to run at 4:30. If 4:30 is not comfortable for you, don't go there. That's why we give ranges. And that's, once again, it's really important to know your body and know what your body is comfortable at. If you do run at the, let's say, the mid to the lower end of that pace bracket, and you see your heart rate is slightly higher than what it should be, then back off. I can guarantee you it's not going to have an effect. When you do your speed work, that's when you need to hit the right numbers. This is just for form of maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah, what I'll do as well, Marcus, and this applies to all the ranges. It's not just if you're running for a sub-3-hour marathon. It's across the board on all the training programs on our platform. Those are the ranges. And like Marcus says, if it doesn't feel comfortable at the bottom of that range, then slow it down. But that lecture that you were talking about, I'm going to pop a link into the show notes as well. It's about an hour long, and it gets quite technical. But I tell you what, it'll blow your mind just watching that thing. So if you're listening to this and you're fascinated by this sort of philosophy of training, and a lot of it, it's what we do at Coach Perry, do yourself a favor and watch that lecture because it just makes so much sense. I'll pop that in as well. So that's brilliant. And then, Jeffrey, you were also asking about strength training and when's the best time of the day to do it. Should you be doing it in the morning if you're running in the afternoon or in the afternoon if you're running in the morning? I think I've got that correct. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, it is. And the other thing is, for example, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, I'm running in the afternoon. Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm doing my running in mornings. When is the best time to do your strength training? And some of the days, should I do it following the running, or should I just dedicate a morning or an afternoon for strength training?
Okay, Jeffrey, I'm just going to ask you to repeat that for me. When exactly do you train in the week? On which days in the morning, which days in the afternoon?
Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, you've got it here. Tuesday and Thursday in the afternoon, and then Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday in the morning.
That's
correct. Oh, and Monday as well in the afternoon. Okay, perfect. And your question is, when is best to do strength training?
Yes.
I'm going to give you a totally different answer here. For me, it's about when is your speed sessions, because those are the sessions that you, like I said, that's when you need to be really specific. That's when you need to run at a really specific pace. So I'd say maybe do your speed sessions the day or gym sessions. If you want to do it the day before, make sure it doesn't interfere with your speed sessions. If you want to do it the day after, that's fine by me. I'd rather let you take a bit of strain in the strength and conditioning sessions as opposed to the actual running sessions. Same with if you're doing, let's say for argument's sake, you want to do a speed say or a strength session on a Thursday. Let me just have a look at your program. So you do your time trials on a Wednesday usually, am I right?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Okay. And on a Wednesday, you train in the morning. So if I were you, I'd do my strength session on a Tuesday morning. That means you still get to run in the afternoon, and it's not a massive run that you're going to put in. And that should give you at least 24 hours to freshen up before your hard run on a Wednesday.
Great.
Cool. Well, Jeffrey, unfortunately, we're out of time. Like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing what you do this weekend at Johnson Crane, and I know Marcus is as well. Best of luck. And I'm going to reach out to you on Monday. And I said that we'll put the result in the show notes, but I'll make sure that I record the intro for this podcast after the weekend. So it's going to be coming up. This is a bit of time travel. It's a bit weird. So Jeffrey's result is coming up after this. So keep listening. Jeffrey, it's been awesome. Thanks for your time. You're also one of our lifetime members on the Coach Perry online training platform. Tell me a little bit about your experience. You've been with us pretty much from the start. What do you enjoy about it?
They're interactive, you know. Sometimes Coach Perry, laptop goes to sleep, and I give him bad hair about it. And thank you, Marcus, for standing in when you couldn't answer on time, because you know, just it's very good, because at least now I know that all my stats are in one place, and I'm a sucker for stats. So yeah, I log every kilo, I log how I feel after the training. So having the forum really helps. and also to read other people's stories. You know, one has some niggling injuries that I'm blessed that in the last 14 weeks that I started with the sub-3 training program, I haven't experienced any serious injuries. But to be cautious, the last 3 weeks I've been attending a biokinetist just to keep my muscles fresh. I'm having my last session tomorrow just before the marathon, just to make sure that everything is in the right place. So, yeah, I'm enjoying the forum a lot.
Brilliant. Well, best of luck, Jeffrey. Go and smash it. And, yeah, fingers crossed, let's send positive vibes and hope you get that sub 3.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Marcus.
All the best. I really hope you hit that, you achieve your goal.
Thank you, guys.
What a cool chat. Thoroughly enjoyed that chat with Jeffrey. And, yeah, some feedback on his marathon. Don't forget as well, we're going to announce the winner in just a moment of the Biogen Journey competition as well. But I got a message on Monday from Jeffrey saying, "Hi, Brad. Following the interview I had with you and Marcus, the feedback from Johnson Crane is as follows. He says, it was a perfect weather for a marathon. However, my body had plans of their own. At 6Ks, I started experiencing discomfort in my stomach. At 14, I had to go to the loo. By 21, I was already 4 minutes behind my planned time. And if that wasn't enough, at 28Ks, my right calf and hamstring became very sore. Jeffrey was saying he thinks it was a result of sitting on the loo and trying to catch up with his running mates. And then at 38Ks, the left calf backed in too. And by 40, he was barely coping. And from there, it was this mental focus that pushed him through to the finish line. He managed to finish in a time of 3:08:38. That's the gross time. The net was 3:08:05. But he missed the three-hour goal, the sub-three-hour goal, but ended up running a four-minute PB, marathon PB. Previous PB was a 3:12:55. That was back in November. So, yeah, fantastic performance, Jeffrey. I know sometimes things don't go your way, but still, a four-minute PB is nothing to scoff at when things don't go according to plan. So I think you can be pretty proud of that. He said the sub-three will fall shortly. He's seeing a physiotherapist this week to sort out the calves and the hamstrings. But, yeah, he says, "I do not like giving excuses. I missed the target as planned. However, I can attest that the program is superb. Since I started with the sub-3 program on the 15th of October, he's achieved the following PBs. He's run a 10K PB in 39.05, a 15K PB in 102.26, and their previous 42K PB back in November, which is now below 3.09, 3.08. Well done, Jeffrey. Congratulations, mate. Hard luck on missing the sub-3. But, yeah, geez, that's an amazing performance when things don't go according to plan. I mentioned as well, you could be a winner here on the podcast, and we have got our next winner. And, yeah, congratulations to Sipiwe, who posted on Instagram. His Instagram handle is Catastrophe. I love it. Catastrophy. Sipiwe, we're going to be in touch via Instagram, and we'll get your prize to you. But he posted a great photo of him finishing the Johnson Crane, and says, "Running is not about competing with anyone, but about being better than you were yesterday." So, so true. Sipiwe, congratulations. We'll be in touch. 3 months access to the Coach Perry online training platform. You get access to all of our training programs, as well as all of our coaches in the interactive forum. We're looking forward to helping you in your build-up to Comrades 2019. He's running his first one this year. So, yeah, looking forward to helping you on that one. And don't forget, if you'd like to win, just use that hashtag, okay, on social media. You can do it on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever. We'll find it. And every week we pick one of the lucky winners. And, yeah, we'll let you know on the podcast. So keep listening to this podcast. Keep subscribing to it. And who knows? You could be a winner, and we could be helping you achieve your goals. On those posts, let us know what you're training for and what you need help with, okay? So that's what we need to know, and we could be making you a winner. And that's it for this week. We're back again with another edition of Run a week from now. Don't forget to check out our videos on Facebook and YouTube. You can also check out our I don't want to call it our sister podcast, but it is essentially our sister podcast called Ride, if you're into cycling, with our cycling coach Devlin Eden. And we've also got a triathlon one called Try with our triathlon coach Rudolf Mordia. And don't forget, you can get access to Lindsay, Marcus, our triathlon coach Rudolf, our cycling coach Devlin, as well as our strength and conditioning coach Shona, and our resident sports nutritionist Nikki, all through the Coach Perry online platform. Access to the Coach Perry mobile app on Android and iOS. All the details on coachperry.com/join. We'd love to have you, and we look forward to helping you achieve your goals. Until next week, from myself, Brad, it's cheers.